Saving money in your next painting project now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect finish for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and get your painting project started today. Save big money at Menards.
You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, happy Tuesday. It is Tuesday, right? My days have been messed up
Tuesday.
For like a week now. It is Tuesday, 9 days away
but
from
what
the
month is it?
NFL.
It's August,
almost September. It's been a week, guys, and it's only Tuesday. But the NFL regular season, good news, kicks off in 9 days. So close, we can almost smell it. And for that, we bring in somebody that we're really excited to have on, Vanessa and Gallant. He is with NFL Network. He hosts Around the NFL podcast, what I think is the best NFL podcast in the game.
Ditto.
Greg Rosenthal, thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Yeah, it's that time of year. We got trades, we got cuts. It's all happening.
It is all happening at once. The Twitter timeline is lit, as the kids say. Let's start by just touching on something that I think a lot of Texans fans want to know about, which is the national impression of Davis Mills. Obviously, we cover the Texans very closely, but you cover every NFL team very in depth. What is the national narrative on Davis Mills as a QB1?
Well, I think a pleasant surprise of everything we saw last year. At least that was mine, and I think I've seen that shared, that he had a lot more juice as a rookie, especially after he came back from that injury, than expected. Like, his highs were higher. And I know he wasn't always, like, testing the ball down the field. He tended to get rid of it quickly and play it safe. But if you like, put it together, a sizzle reel of his 20 best throws, like, they were really impressive in a way that I don't think people really expected, that he's a little more athletic. And that, at the very least, I think he kind of earned what the Texans are giving him, which is a shot here at a real long look at whether he could be a long-term starter.
Hearing a lot of optimism about Mills, and Greg, I've heard you on a couple of different podcasts sound very optimistic just about this team's ability, the Texans, to win more games than expected this season. Why do you feel that way?
Yeah, just A, I think their defense is going to be highly competitive. They were for most of last year. They kind of slipped down the stretch. I just think that it's hard to lose as many games as they have been lately, repeatedly. Like, the NFL's just not built for that. I don't think it's that hard to ultimately win 6 or 7 games, and their over-under right now is 4.5. And to me, they just added a lot of solid veterans that I think can play football, guys like Jerry Hughes. The depth in terms of their pass rush, I think, is better than people think. And then the key part to them being truly interesting to watch is some of these younger players stepping up and making that leap, whether it's Nico Collins or Mills, or in some of the rookies contributing right away. So you look at that, you look at their division. I like the staff overall enough that, to me, I think they could just be in the mix in a bad division, like win 7 games. And to a lot of people, that would be very surprising after the last couple of years of the Texans have had.
I like that you said that, because we had the discussion on our show about a week ago. What would a successful season for the Texans look like? And I said, hey, 6 or 7 wins, and then just figure out what you're doing with Davis Mills, whether or not he's franchise quarterback or not. What would a successful season for the Texans look like to you?
Yeah, that's exactly. We just did a podcast where we went through every team, and that was what I said about the Texans. To me, it was really about the young player. I care less about the winning the 7 games. I think that would happen if this happens. But between, you know, let's say there's 6 or 7 kind of young players they're excited about, certainly, you know, their 2 first-round picks this year, and Stingley and Green and Jalen Petrie, but also Collins and Mills and some of their young players throughout the roster, finding guys that you feel like can be there for a while. Now, if Mills, like, plays like a better-than-average starting quarterback, I mean, that alone almost would be a huge success. I was at that Texans-Rams game, and there were some ugly moments this preseason that had me worried, but I've learned over the years not to overreact too much to the preseason.
You mentioned sticking around a long time, and I've been curious about this with Lovie Smith. This is his 3rd coaching go-round. He is getting up there in age, and obviously the Texans just had arguably the worst public relations offseason that we've seen in quite some time, moving on from David Culley as quickly as they did, whether merited or unmerited. I'm curious as to how long Smith will stick around, and I wanted to get your feeling on that, and on top of that, too, where you would place him amongst the coaches in the AFC South if you were to rank them.
Ooh, that's a tough one. Look, I think he brings like a level of been there professionalism, and that the players respect him. We interviewed him at the Combine. Everyone who knows Lovie Smith respects him. I just think he knows how NFL franchises are run, and I think that's what the Texans needed right now. The circumstances with his hiring, coming off those reports that maybe it was going to be Josh McCown, and then the Brian Flores story happened, like that was all extremely messy. But to me, it would be even messier for him to be on like an extremely short leash that they could, you know, get rid of him after a year. And like I said, I'm optimistic kind of about how they go. So to me, I think he's at least going to have a couple years to kind of lay his foundation. Or I think there's even bigger questions about, you know, what is Nick Caserio doing here? Because I can actually kind of see the vision. But if you're flipping your coaching staff every year, to me, that just screams of a dysfunctional situation.
Let's talk a little national news for a minute. You tweeted that it's beyond weird the 49ers didn't let Jimmy G practice with his teammates all camp, and now he's staying on the team. I totally agree. I think most people would agree. We're hearing different things. We see Ian Rappaport tweet that, hey, this is all part of the plan. It's still Trey Lance's team. And then my guy Mike Silver says they're hedging. What have you heard? What is your kind of speculation, and what's the narrative around here? Because it is objectively just an odd situation.
I mean, you guys know this. For some reason, we put like these NFL teams and decision makers and coaches on this pedestal where they're just like the rest of us. Like in our jobs, for the most part, they're like making it up as they go along. Like, there's no way they thought he was going to be on roster. There's a report. They're like, I've never heard of a circumstance like this in my 20 years covering the league where a player is at practice and not allowed to play with his teammates. And then he ends up being on the roster. Like, there's a million ways this situation is different than almost any I can think of. And one of them is that Jimmy Garoppolo supposedly timed his surgery in an effort to not get traded, which makes sense to me. I think the 49ers were caught off guard when he underwent surgery, and that's why they were so confident they could trade him. And then the surgery kind of mucked that up, and they've been, I think, misguided and also not really telling the truth with the media and Trey Lance and all of this the whole time.
Greg Rosenthal of the Around the NFL podcast with us, the NFL Network, too. Who do you think, I guess, is behind the scenes making these decisions about maybe a lack of confidence in Trey Lance and how they feel about Jimmy Garoppolo? Because it does feel like this is Kyle Shanahan's show, but could also understand where maybe it's John Lynch who is the one that's looking at the roster and thinking to himself, I'm not sure I'm feeling it. I guess, who do you think of those two has more doubt in Trey Lance at this moment in time?
Ooh, yeah, and I hesitate to say it's, you know, largely about Lance. I think they thought in the end they had Jimmy in a good situation where they're better off having both guys. But I tend to think it's the other way around, that Kyle Shanahan does ultimately have more juice in that building. But that Jimmy G is the guy that he wanted to keep. That he, you know, he might not have been the biggest Trey Lance guy going into the draft. There were plenty of people who know Kyle Shanahan well that believed it was Mac Jones. And then at the last second, maybe it was the owner in the front office that ended up getting Trey Lance and convincing Kyle Shanahan to do that. He had to go along with that, certainly, if they're taking a quarterback at number three. But I do think it speaks to dysfunction, and this is an organization. It's something I always keep an eye on. Like, this has happened before. Coaches, GMs, team presidents, owners, all kind of going at each other in San Francisco, and they've had more success on the field, certainly, with this crew, Shanahan and Lynch, but it seems like that there's a little bit of a division there. John Lynch also, you know, supposedly was trying to get a job in broadcasting at one point this offseason. So it's messy.
Yeah. Well, how much of that do you think? I mean, it could be CYA, right? Like, you trade a couple firsts for Trey Lance and then it's not working out. Rappaport had said that it was 5 days ago that these discussions started. That lines up with when the 49ers played the Texans. So, but you said you don't think it's as much Trey Lance related. What do you see happening with the situation? Do you have Jimmy G halfway through the season, if Trey's not performing well, jumping in?
Yes, I do. Look, Bill Walsh, like, benched Joe Montana at one point before he won a couple more MVPs for Steve Young, not to mention traded for him. I know there were injury situations there, too, but he literally benched him. So Trey Lance is not above being benched on a team that they think can go to the Super Bowl, that they think has a top three defense. If he really struggled, yeah, we could absolutely see Jimmy G. The reality is, like, the odds of Trey Lance and just his style of play, and he's barely taken any snaps in his life, is that, like, there's some sort of injury or something will happen where Jimmy G will get a chance at some point. I tend to think that Shanahan's such a good coach, that there's so much talent, that they'll probably win and that they'll probably be okay with Lance, and he'll do enough good things that he wouldn't lose the job due to performance. But if he did struggle, I absolutely believe they would bench him, yeah.
Greg, this is a very open-ended question, and it has to do with a guy who has been the center of a lot of controversy over the course of the last year. How has your opinion of Aaron Rodgers changed over the course of the past year? Because, especially over the last couple of weeks, whether it's the Nicolas Cage appreciation, ayahuasca appreciation, or opening up on podcasts that he's always wanted to be a part of, we've certainly heard a lot from him this offseason.
It's been a lot. I would say my opinion hasn't changed much. It's probably confirmed some of the ways that I felt about him, positively and negatively. Like, look, I like that he's kind of not like a cookie-cutter quarterback. We always want these guys to be a little more honest with who they are and their personalities. But there was this podcast I listened to, had to have been 6-7 years ago. It was with Pete Holmes, the comedian. And he did a couple hours, and it was one of the most revealing, bizarre podcasts I've ever heard from, like, a professional athlete. He talked about aliens. He talked about all sorts of stuff. He's got an open mind, and sometimes it gets filled with some wacky stuff. And you hear a lot, too, behind the scenes and stuff. He's a unique guy, and I would just say, like, this all makes sense to me. This makes sense for the arc of who Aaron Rodgers is.
Unique is probably the nicest word you could have used. All right, we'll wrap it up. I do just want to ask you, it is another very broad question. The AFC is loaded this year. What are some of the biggest storylines you're looking to follow, since you do cover all the teams?
I mean, well, the West is just so loaded. There's been a lot of talk about that. But I think if you just lined up who has the best rosters in the NFL, I would put the Chargers right there with the Bills, with the Bucks. Maybe the Chiefs are just behind them. So, you know, to me, it's can they capitalize on what's just a loaded team and who gets left out in that division? It's such a good conference. Like, usually we'd be talking about this Bengals team and this young core of skill position players they have as, like, you know, a potential dynasty or the best young offense we've seen in a long time. Like, you just usually don't get all these young players all together, most of them on their first contract. And yet they're looked at as like a borderline playoff team. So, those, you know, it just feels like some big-time teams are going to have to get left out in the cold in the AFC.
There you go. All right, he is at Greg with two Gs, Rosenthal on Twitter, NFL Network, host of the Around the NFL podcast. We appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Good talking to you guys. Good to hear you, you know, in Houston, Paul.
Thanks,
it's
Greg.
Good gig.
Appreciate it, man. Good to hear from you, too.
Yeah. Thanks, Greg. All right, more coming up, including Lovie Smith talking about Davis Mills, and we check around the AFC South. First, let me tell you about my friends at BUSR. Football season, baby, 9 days away. Go to BUSR.com/ESPN. You can double your deposit within the first 24 hours. Do you have a futures bet that you know will cash in? The Texans, by the way, over-under set at 4.5 games. Maybe you think they're going to win 6 or 7 like Greg and us just talked about. Maybe you think the Astros are going to win the World Series. Maybe you're a blackjack fan or a roulette kind of girl. Good news, it's all available at BUSR.com/ESPN.
ESPN 97.5.